You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
That brings the time to 4 o'clock, and it is time for my weekly freaking happy moment, whoopee-doo thing.
Luckily, it's bi-weekly.
Yeah, goodness gracious me. Yeah.
Can you imagine if it was weekly, you'd be in a complete state.
I'd be in counselling.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so lovely to see you, Jeff. It's it's always good when you walk into the studio. It lifts my spirits and I get into, frame of mind. Where
all right, just move
can't
on.
Can't contain myself.
Just move on because it's not working.
No. I'm trying to convince myself, and anyway. So it's the best of life, love, and biltong, and it's you are here, and you are going to speak this afternoon. Oh, welcome, by the way.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
You are going to speak this afternoon. Though we joke and we start out with the show, generally the content is rather serious in nature. And the joking does not detract from the fact that this afternoon's topic is a rather serious one. It's called, you've titled it, The Silent Struggle. And it's about men, mental health, and modern masculinity. And you're going to speak to us about that this afternoon. A very powerful topic.
Yeah, it's a powerful topic. And it's one that resonates with a lot of people, I would imagine, especially the male generation. But it doesn't get a lot of airtime. We don't talk about it much, and it's not, globally, it's not spoken about a lot. And there'll be reasons, and I'll pick them up as we go. But I thought it would be really, really interesting because I read something in the last week, and I will share that a bit later in the show. But I thought this would be a fantastic topic. And looking at it, a couple of key points I want to look at, the man up culture, man up culture. How society conditions men to suppress their emotions, and boys don't cry and cowboys don't cry and that kind of stuff. I want to talk about that a bit. I want to talk about mental health statistics that are really scary for men. And the rate of men seeking therapy is also a little bit scary as well.
So that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah,
that there is that high requirement possibly, but the fact that they're looking for therapy is not a bad thing.
Well, but the problem is that they're not looking, and that's what I want to highlight here as well today. And masculinity and identity, let's look at that, the pressure of being a provider and a protector and an emotional, pillar. It's heavy on men. We're changing definitions of masculinity in modern society now in media. I want to talk about that a little bit. And barriers to vulnerability, the shame, the stigma, and the fear of judgment. Yeah, and finding safe space for a man nowadays to express his emotional needs is also very important. The role of the media is quite big. How do films, how do music and social media shape the male psyche? And are we seeing more emotionally intelligent males as role models now? So let's talk about that, and then therapy. I do want to talk about therapy a little bit, about solutions and support for men that are going through. So if you're a guy and you're sort of handling life and you're doing your thing and you're a dad and you're a boss and you're a provider and a shoulder to cry on and all these things that men do, listen up, because something might come up here that you could use as well. And we know what fantastic men there are out there. There are those as well, but we're not talking about those. We're talking about the guys that are out there trying to do your best, just doing your best. If you're a young dad or something like that, you didn't have a class in matric or a university class at how to be a dad. You know what I mean? You're doing your best you can. So so let's look at the tough guy stereotype. Why are men, Richard, taught to hide vulnerability? I find it quite strong, actually, if somebody's quite vulnerable. So I find it a very strong thing, because we are taught, or some men are taught, to hide that, not to show emotion. So you might have had a dad you know, that couldn't show emotion in your life, or you had somebody that was very open and emotionally giving and all that. But how does this affect men's, you know, mental health? So the statistic is that 77% of men surveyed said they've experienced mental health symptoms, but 40% of them never told anybody. Now, that is Mind UK. That's a psycho magazine, and that was done in 2023. So we raise boys to deny feelings. You know, you got to be a boy or take it, you know. And we're shocked when they act out in anger, when it bursts. So you hide, you push it in, you keep it down, and then all of a sudden that anger bursts, a dam breaks, and then we're shocked when the little Johnny is, or big Johnny, is caught shouting and screaming and being a little bit violent. So emotional expression as well. Do men feel safe expressing their emotions? I don't know. I think a lot of men don't feel safe. Or in a safe environment in case they're judged or somebody looks at them and says, well, he's weak. You know, if you express emotions. Women love it when men do that, by the way. And so it's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. But how do boys learn or not learn emotional intelligence growing up? Where do they learn that from, you know? So the statistic is that boys are twice as likely to be told to stop crying compared to girls by the age of 10. So man up, stop crying now. You're a guy, you got to take it, you know. Damage control, just go and put a plaster on it or go and get some stitches or whatever it is, you know. Crying actually is not a sign of weakness. In fact, it's a sign that you've been strong for too long. And that's said by Johnny Depp, actually. Okay. Seeking help. A lot of men avoid therapy. I know in some cultures, in the black cultures in our country, you know, showing that you are vulnerable from your mental health is an absolute weakness and seen as a weakness. So there are a lot of men out there that are really struggling, and it's not in their culture to go and seek help or mental health services. And so we need to normalize therapy for men. That's what we need to do. We need to say it's normal. It's a good thing. You know, if you're struggling and you're working and you're a dad and you're struggling with your business and your money and all of the stuff, it's a good thing to go and talk to somebody about it. You can't just carry the stuff with you. So 36% of mental health therapy clients are men. The rest are women. And that is not good. That's not a good statistic. The women are easier to go to these things. When I used to run seminars and all those things on relationships and social styles and all these things, and I'd put an advert out, I'd get probably out of 20 people in my workshop, two would be men. The rest of them are all women wanting to talk and talk it out and talk to each other and learn more. The men, nah, I don't need that nonsense, you know, I don't need that stuff, you know, don't do it. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson said, it's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Mm. And therefore, let's get some help, guys, you know, let's get some help. There are places that you can get help, and you know, Mankind Project comes to mind. Is a place where men go and they can talk about their stuff. I think it's a really good place. It's a safe environment, and that could be quite a good thing as well. There is pressure from society to provide, right? As well, I mean, he's got to be the provider, the man. The house breaks down tonight, I'll build a new one before tomorrow morning. You know, type of story, and it affects him. It affects a man's self-worth when the expectation to be the provider is very, very harsh. And what happens when a man can't fulfill that role? Maybe he's lost his job. Maybe there's financial pressure. Maybe whatever he's trained in is not viable anymore. What happens to that poor guy, you know? And he feels he's got to be a provider. There's an example of, and it's quite a harsh example, of how a man feels when his partner's been raped. It's that harsh, I'm not worthy of being her partner, whether being a man, I couldn't protect her. It's that kind of heaviness that comes over men. And as you see, we as men have a lot of pressure at the, on things like that. 68% of men say financial stress affects their mental health. 68%, that's quite a high percentage. Yet most won't talk to their partner about it. You don't talk to your missus. You had something happened at the office. You lost you lost a deal that was bringing money in or whatever it is. And most men do not want to burden their partner with that kind of stress. I think that's probably the reason. But 68% of them, they won't talk to the missus about it. So the pressure to provide becomes a prison if you don't talk about it. So we really need to talk about that kind of thing. Male friendships, Richard, is another thing is very important. Do men actually have deep, emotional, safe friendships? Well, I don't know. I think if you're a man, you have a couple of mates around. If you're in a club somewhere where, let's say a biking club, you have a couple of good mates. If you've been to the army with a couple of mates, you might have that bond. Or if you've been in scouts as a young scout, you're still friends that are, you know, really good friendships. But do we really have that guy we can go and have a beer with or an orange juice or whatever and just say, listen, I'm struggling at the moment? Not many men have. And the stat says 1 in 5 men say they have no close friends. 1 in 5. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why that is. Is it because they're busy, they've got other things they've got to worry about, they don't have time to nurture these friendships? I think we should have a time to nurture our male friendships. So C.S. Lewis said, friendship is born when one man says to another, you too. In other words, somebody comes along and says, oh, I'm struggling with this divorce. And the other guy says, oh, you too, me too. And then a friendship is born there when somebody feels he can relate. So find somebody you can relate to. Masculinity is in transition. Now, we know this in the last 5 or 6 years. There have been all this, how do I identify this woke culture and all that kind of stuff. And what does it really mean to be a real man today? I mean, is it, do you have to have muscles and Feldskun and a bucky? What is it to be a man? What is the definition of masculinity? Is it evolving? Absolutely it is. And is that scary for some men? 54% of men under 35 say traditional masculinity is outdated. Now, if you look at some of the kids, are they going to be solid men that people can rely on? And is there a balance maybe? Should there be a solid man that everybody knows traditionally with somebody that is emotionally and has got emotional intelligence? You know, being a man is not about ever falling. It's about getting back up and asking for help when you can't. And that was said by Justin Baldoni. So, you know, the contrast between the 90s action hero, the Bruce Willis action hero, or the Sean Connery. Remember Sean Connery in Dr. No, that guy who came out the water with a cigarette in his mouth? Has that changed a bit today? You know, are our role models, our action heroes, are they a little bit more emotionally intelligent male figures? And then the media has a role as well. How are men portrayed in the media? Are they strong and silent or emotionally complex? Are they influencers or athletes? Or how do the celebrities nowadays affect us and or hurt our mental health as men? So representation of emotionally vulnerable men in media is up 35% in the last decade. So that old school guy that, you know, the John Wayne type of manly man is losing a footing there. Okay. And so we need more stories where men are heroes because of their empathy, not just their fists. I suppose that's part of it as well. And now we get on to a very heavy part of this thing, which is which is something quite close to me with the job that I do, and that is suicide and silence. So I want to talk about men in South Africa with regards to suicide. And men in South Africa are estimated to be about 4 to 5 times more likely to die by suicide than women. And this disparity is significant, and it's a concern. And it highlights the targeted need for intervention for men. You know, why are suicide rates higher in men? Well, if you look at where they are youngsters, of course, until the age of 30. And then from the age of 35 to about 45, 50, it spikes. And why is that? Because the guys are under pressure financially. They're under pressure to provide. They're under pressure with kids. They're under pressure with relationships. The media, the social media, the Facebook, all of these dating sites and all those kind of things. This is all stress, and warning signs are often missed. So men account for nearly 75% of all suicides globally. Richard, that's a huge percentage. 75% of all suicides are men. So sometimes the loudest cries for help come from the silence we ignore. And that's why I've called this thing today, the silent struggle, because men don't talk about this. They just take themselves out here, it looks like, you know. And we need a safe space as a man, you know. What are the solutions? We need a space where men can feel safe to open up. And that is not very easy to find. Workplaces, not really. Communities, maybe, but not really. Can families support men emotional well-being? Let him go to Mankind Project or with his mates or whatever. So men in peer group support, men in peer support groups, are 60% more likely to seek ongoing help. So if you're in a group of men that look after each other and want to chat about stuff, you are 60% more likely to go and seek help. And I did join a group like this. I had one of my colleagues wanting to get men together. He was a youngster. He was about 28 years old. He was a single dad almost. He'd been divorced already, and he wanted to get a whole lot of men. And it lasted about a month or two. And then the guys didn't carry on again. So, you know, it's a bit difficult. So real strength is saying, I need help out loud. And that is a mental health campaign slogan that says that I need help, and you say it out loud. So the final thing I want to talk about is fatherhood. Fatherhood is a huge form of pleasure and wonder in a man's life, but it's also a huge part of his stress. And are fathers today showing more emotion than previous generations? Maybe. What lessons about mental health are dads passing on to their sons? So children of emotionally open fathers have better esteem and fewer anxiety issues. Okay, so that's something that's quite important, that we need to realize that our kids need us emotionally. A father's tears and fears are unseen. His love is unexpressed, but his care and protection remain. So I want to read something that got me this week to do this program today. Okay. So if you're a dad, this is for you. A father never asks for much, and he never will. He's just that kind of man. The kind that works without complaint, who carries burdens in silence, who gives without expecting anything in return. He won't tell you about the sleepless nights he spent worrying, the sacrifices he made so you wouldn't have to, or the times he wished he could do more. He won't say how tired he is, how heavy the weight of the world feels on his shoulders every single night. But no matter how tough it gets, he keeps going. He keeps showing up, because that's what fathers do. They don't ask for recognition. They just want to see you safe, happy, and thriving. They give everything, even when it seems like there's nothing left to give. And one day you'll look back and realize he never asked for much. Just for you to be happy. Just for you to see that he tried. So don't wait. Don't wait for a special occasion to thank him. Don't wait till it's too late to appreciate the love he's given in quiet, unnoticed ways. Tell him now. Show him now. Because all he's ever wanted is for you to notice him in the same way that he's always noticed you. And that's it. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what dads are all about. And we men carry these things.
I've listened to what you just said there now. And while you were talking about it, I was thinking to myself, that's part of the problem. That is part of the problem.
That he's quiet about it.
Yes. The fact that you've... I mean, my father was pretty much the same. Great provider, great guy, but sometimes emotionally distant. And a lot of times emotionally distant. And also pretty much, you know, cowboys don't cry kind of guy. And that's the way that he grew up.
Sure.
That impacted on me. I was that guy. I needed to be like my father because that's the role model that I had, and that's how I was going to be. Fortunately, it didn't work out that way. It changed. A lot of things changed. And a lot of things change the more vulnerable you become. Mm-hmm. The minute you realize that there is a chink in that armor and it needs to be dealt with, it sometimes that's the best thing that can happen. But what you said there is, yes, it's a very nice picture painting, a word picture painted of a father. But that's not what the father should be, in my opinion. Yeah. In my opinion, he should be showing his vulnerability. He should possibly be expressing more with his kids, his wife, his family. And then the other thing that I want to focus on when you're talking, and I was listening quite carefully to what you said, I think that this statistic about friendship is quite a scary one. And again, it comes down for me to, again, to vulnerability. How much do you open yourself up to a friend? How much do you tell them about yourself and the problems that you're facing and the experiences that you're dealing with? I'm fortunate. I have a friend right here in the valley that I could believe I can tell anything. Anything.
That's very lucky.
Yeah. I trust him explicitly. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's reciprocal. Doesn't need to be. Okay?
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't
right.
need to be.
No, you're quite right.
But I trust this man explicitly. And whenever I've faced business problems, sometimes personal problems, I have no hassles speaking. And I would mention his name because he's such a great guy, but I think it would embarrass him. But I talked to him a lot. But it took a long time for me to find a person that I could trust like that.
Of course.
And to say to people, listen, go out and find a friend, you could be finding the wrong friend.
Yeah.
And again, that puts a little bit of a damper and puts brakes on guys thinking, have I opened myself up to the wrong guy here now? Mm. You know? Mm. What's this guy going to do with this information? Can I trust him? And that takes a leap of faith as well. So there's a lot in here that we are talking about that needs, in my opinion, somebody to guide you.
Yeah.
So whether you want to go into a friendship with somebody, you need to be able to go and see somebody who is detached from your circumstances, I think. Speak to that person about what your plans are. I've met this guy, Jeff and I, we connect, we talk, I feel I can trust him. And that person can guide you and say, okay, listen, when you're speaking to Jeff, how is he responding to what you're saying? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? Well, if he's doing that, be careful. If he's doing this, well, then go in boots and all. But that needs to be a person that is detached from the situation that you're in, doesn't probably even know Jeff.
But do we really know anybody else? Do we really know someone else?
You have to take a risk. That is life.
It's called trust, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's faith, right? So you have faith in somebody and you have trust in someone, and then you slowly, they earn your trust slowly, slowly as it goes. And your friend has earned your trust.
Yes,
obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But here's the kicker. If that trust was ever betrayed, then I'm going back to page one on your document.
Yeah. You understand? Well, that's what happens. There's any relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I'm going to say, hang on a minute. Okay, I'd rather be keep my stuff to myself, be stoic about everything, don't show any emotion because then I become vulnerable. And the thing about it is that we need to understand that it's okay to be vulnerable. That's what I'm getting.
Now that's
getting
what I wanted to get this out today. That men, yes, we're proud of you guys. You know, you're doing your best. You're doing some amazing things sometimes with kids and with a family and with a business and whatever it is. But if you are struggling, please don't hold it in. You know, go and find that person. If it's your dad, perhaps he's older and he's wiser and he can speak to you. If it's somebody else, find a spirit that you can trust, and that you can love in a way that I'm sure you have a love for this friend. It's a kind of love that. The guy phones you at 3 in the morning, you're up, you're out there, and you're going to go and help him. There's no discussion. It's just what it is. And that's very, very rare, and that's very hard to find. And what we don't do, we don't nurture those relationships enough. Mm. We trust them, and we think it's a friend, but only when you're in trouble. And then so we need to spend some time, and our partners need to understand that we need to spend some time with those people as well. So trust is all about it, and I'm just saying about the men today, we're discussing the vulnerability and all of that. And I think that's amazing that, you know, you feel you can be vulnerable with somebody because it's a gift that somebody gives you.
I think the other thing that's important here is that we shouldn't be critical of those guys who want to remain stoic.
No, they can't help it, you know.
But it doesn't stop you asking the question, are you okay?
It doesn't.
I see what you're going through. Do you want to talk about it? If you don't want to talk, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm here if you want to.
It's your business. Yeah. And not be judgmental and go and say, well, you know, if so-and-so just spoken about it.
No.
You've got to be very careful of that, too. So this is a very complex problem, but it comes back for me to, yes, we can list these things on the radio. We're by no means you and I professionals in this field. But I would say that anybody who is feeling the pressure of this, or anybody who is married to someone who they believe is feeling the pressure of this, they probably need to speak to somebody who is an expert in the field and somebody who is equipped to give them the right advice. But
not only the advice, though, you know, if you just look at yourself, just take yourself away for a minute out of the quagmire of this noise that's going on, and just sit quietly and say, what do I need now? Because men don't do that. You know, it's like moms. Moms don't do that either. They're running around looking after everybody. Men also need to have some time to be retrospective, look at themselves, find out where they're doing, how they're doing. And have some quiet time just to realign themselves and find out what they actually do need. And if it is therapy that you need, for goodness sake, go and find someone you can talk to. It doesn't have to be a psychologist. It can be a life coach. And just go and get some perspective of things and get somebody to say, oh, my goodness, you know, I've been through that. And you can say you too, and a relationship can be built that you can talk about. And I think it's really important that men understand that, yes, you are going through stuff, and yes, you are being attacked every day in some form, but, you know, you're strong, you're resilient, but if you do need help, please reach out and find someone. Yeah, so that's it for today, Rich.
Well, yeah, well, there we go. Thank you, Jeff. That was awesome stuff. It really was. And I hope that somebody picked up something in you that they can use. And even if what they pick up is that this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine. At least you thought it through. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. 100%.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. I'm out of here.
You can go away now because you've overstayed your welcome, essentially.
I can see.
And it's time
You're waving me out now.
Yeah, it's time for you. I've got things to do now.
All right. Leave my collar alone now.
No,
I'll walk out on my own.
Go,
thanks.
Go.
Bye.
Thank you, Jeff.